interesting, Tom, because, you know, there are little signs that he's just becoming a bit of a pain in the posterior.
I was referred to as a pain in the ass, you know, and I hate pain in the posterior, but I'm going to say exactly what it really was. Obviously, I don't want to come across as that. And I'm going to say this. I want to be very clear. I'm an adult.
I did actually get a chance to talk to him briefly in the locker room Friday, because I shouldn't have said that. You know, it's that sort of speculative. So that was purely speculative on my part. It's usually a lane I'm not residing in. So I did want to apologize to him, and I made several efforts to do that. I talked to him Friday. I know you're looking at me sideways. You wouldn't apologize. That's fine.
WEEI Afternoons, and that was a cut-up of sort of this situation that's going on between Phil Perry, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, Stephon Diggs, his press conference yesterday. And right now we go to one of the horse's mouths. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. And by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom, you know, you were brought into this story via Steph Diggs during his press conference yesterday. We talked about that a little bit at the end of our show. I know you guys kind of addressed this in your own way on NBC Sports Boston yesterday. Can you kind of summarize where we stand? How did this all come about, and how do you feel like things stand right now?
I think they stand in a really good spot. He articulated that, hey, if you guys perceive me as a pain in the ass, and I think that in saying so, he was like kind of mentioning, what have I done necessarily to represent myself as such? But if you feel as if I have been that, I apologize, which certainly opened the door for a good discussion as to, hey, we saw this really occurred around the Diana Rossini conversation with Diggs, where he intimated that he wouldn't be available for week one. Mm-hmm. And that followed soon after Todd Downing, the wide receivers coach, kind of saying that Diggs needed to be in the right place and engaged and understanding the places he needed to be. That coupled with maybe a little less production from Diggs during camp, and that might have been related to the knee, certainly likely that it was. But all those things and his history lead you to say, is he playing a game here a little bit with his availability in week one? Is there a little bit of rancor here? So I just said, is there some smoke here? Is this going to be an issue? And Phil said, you know, if you look at it, the totality of it, it could be. So that's where that was. But I don't blame him in the least for using his public platform to address it if we're going to use our public platform to speculate on it. So I think it's in a good spot. So that's the background. That's where we stand. And, you know, until further notice, and I doubt not anticipating that it will be, but until further notice, Stephon Diggs is ready to go and be a contributing member of the team, and there should be no drama.
You know, Tom, just to flesh it out just a little bit more, I'm just curious if you think there's any part of you that maybe thinks, because it felt to me almost like Steph Diggs was kind of doing what Vrabel wanted him to do by addressing it. You know, that it was something that he had an issue with, that he went to Diggs, and that, you know, that is why that was the impetus for why Diggs even said anything at the press conference. And if there's a part of you that feels that way at all, do you feel that maybe you know, Mike's listening to the outside noise maybe more than we thought? Because a lot of people think that that's not Mike's thing. That was Belichick's thing. Clearly, we all know that. That's documented. But do you get a sense at all that maybe Mike's got ears in the cornfield a little bit and is listening to things that that Bill used to listen to when it comes to how the media is covering his team?
I don't. I heard a number of people speculate that Vrabel wanted Diggs to do this because he created a firestorm with the comments to Diana, and he should go clean it up because Phil asked Vrabel about it, and Vrabel kind of bit Phil's head off a little bit in a joking manner. But to me, I think it was more Diggs saying, look, if you're going to call me a pain in the ass, I'm going to apologize and also point out that I really haven't done anything and I'd like to get off on the right foot. I think it was a good way for him to address it while it simultaneously saying, you know, I'm going to work with you guys. I want it to be a cordial relationship, but I don't think it's in the purview of you guys to call me a pain in the ass unless you have some kind of smoking gun. Nothing was necessarily misconstrued or misinterpreted in my estimation. You had a guy who indicated I might not be ready for week one when he's been, you know, a friggin' medical miracle for about 6 months, which I stated time and again how amazing it was that he had gotten out there. But I should also say, too, that as we continue to do the work, and talked to people around the team, it was soon thereafter indicated, and I talked to you guys about this, they don't have a problem with Diggs. At least that's, you know, what they're saying, and I have no reason to disbelieve them. So we did try, and I tried on this station too, and I talked to you guys to say, look, from all I'm hearing, they're fine with them. So the smoke that we thought was there is not there. So you just do the best you can do. When he doesn't talk to you directly and you have to interpret something and you're on talk radio or television and you have to interpret and say what the climate is around a player, it is what it is. And I'm glad that he addressed it directly and we can move forward.
Speaking of players making their return to the field and what kind of contributions they may or may not make depending on their health, Tom, we've made a little bit of something about Christian Gonzalez's health on these very appearances the last couple of weeks, and now it looks like he's not going to play. One, how do you think that affects Sunday? And more importantly, two, going forward, I've heard speculation about could this be sort of a contract maintenance thing, or do we think there's a legitimate injury that's lingering for the Patriots' defensive superstar?
On the second portion, first, Fitzy, you know, we've done our best to try and press Mike and try and find out what that is. I still go back to the first question he was asked about Christian Gonzalez this season. How will heightened expectations around Christian Gonzalez be responded to? And Mike talked about, you know, you have to find that middle ground between doing what's best for you and your family and your brand. He didn't use the word brand, but and also doing what's best for the team. So I think that, to me, probably kicked off speculation about, is he concerned about a contract? Because it was a contractual conversation that wasn't really raised by us and was veered into by Mike. So now, yeah, you know, as it turns out, a guy leaves the field with what didn't seem like a catastrophic injury. And if it's taking a long time for him to come back, and there was an initial report from, I think it was Jordan Schultz, saying it's minor, he'll be ready for week one, we all instinctively say, well, what's the holdup? So I tried to ask Mike yesterday about, look, is he looking to be 100% or ready to play football? And Mike said, I'm not getting into percentages. Can the player contribute? Can he protect himself? Can he play a representative level of football for what we expect of him? And those are the things that he needs to see. So if they're not seeing it, they're not seeing it. I think that Mike has gone out of his way to really make it clear that he believes that the commitment and engagement of Christian Gonzalez has been good throughout. So I don't know. He's certainly, you're right. If he doesn't look like he's going to play this week, next week you got Miami and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Does he need a ramp-up period? Since he hasn't tackled anybody, one would suspect, for the last, you know, since January. So it's just, we are where we were. It just bears monitoring, and it's going to be an ongoing conversation because he's the best player on the team.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, I have another Diggs-related and then wide receiver question. It's not about whatever's going on. This is on-field stuff. I was listening to you with Jones and Keefe the other day, and I think you said you just sort of don't really expect Diggs to play all 17 games. So I wanted to just clarify that. Is that just, you know, 30-something receiver coming off an ACL? And you've been extremely high on Kayshon Booty, saying he could be a number two on a good team, maybe a number one. Like, why are we so high on Kayshon Booty?
Kayshon Booty's good. Kayshon Booty was good. Kayshon Booty was good on a bad team last year. He really rarely drops the ball. I think he's got very good chemistry with May. He's durable. He's out there all the time. He's got unbelievable body control, great hands, and he knows where he's supposed to be, it appears. So all those things combined make him a reliable receiver. Who's the most reliable receiver that you've seen documented with Drake May? Probably Kayshon Booty. So I think he's going to have a good season. As for Diggs not playing 17 games, it was more of a, how often do guys play 17 games at the age of 32 playing that position? I'm not thinking that he's going to take a week off. I'm just saying, you know, if you look at Pro Football Reference in a year or two and see that he's played 14 games in 2025, you'd say, oh, that was good. He was only down for three games at his age 32 season. But I also think Diggs is going to be productive. You know, last year he was the number two to Nico Collins in Houston, and he was still on pace for a 94-catch, 1,000-yard season, and that was in eight games. 47 catches and like 496 with three touchdowns. So I think he could have a representative season similar to that. If you target him eight times a game, and generally he catches about 70% of the balls he's sent, five times 16, what's that, 90? I think it is.
Yes.
Pretty good by me. No, is that 80? Might be 90.
50, 80. 80. 5 times 17 yeah. games would be 85.
Premature victory lap, it's 80.
So if you get 80 catches and you figure he's going to average 11 yards per catch or so, because that's generally what he does. If you get 80 catches and 880 yards in a 17-game season from Stephon Diggs, that's everything you kind of hoped for when you signed him.
Sorry, Tom. Last Tuesday, they came out with their 53-man roster, and we talked last Thursday to you, but after the Tuesday 53-man roster was released, they had released two players, Kendrick Bourne and Javon Baker, and I thought that was odd. You referenced, I think, 2001, saying, well, there was only 51 players on the 53-man roster initially, and then they filled it in. But I guess I just haven't talked to you since they released Jabril Peppers. And I heard that news on Friday, and it just – something – it was weird. It just felt like something – a move that I just wasn't expecting, wasn't seeing. What were your thoughts on Jabril Peppers getting released, and did that signal something to you either positively or negatively?
I think Peppers is a good player. I think he was their best player in 22 and 23. It's surprising that he has no relevance at all. I wonder if the fact that he was going to be, less of a starter and more a backup, I don't even know if that was going to be the case, but it certainly appears so since they released him. And that probably wouldn't set with a guy who's got the ability and resume that Peppers does. So my guess would be they didn't feel comfortable having him as a backup. To me, if you look at the scheme, Mike Vrabel wants fast, center field type free safeties and safeties to cover the deep part of the field. That's probably why Kyle Duggar isn't here. And Peppers is nobody's idea of a gazelle at this point. Even though he's a great hitter, I don't think that he would be a huge liability in coverage, if a liability at all. But to me, there is a scheme change that I think has gone on that Peppers doesn't fit as well in, to go from being one of the best players on the team in one scheme to having a new scheme come in and him appearing to land as a backup. It leads one to believe that, regardless of whether Mike says it's scheme related or not. So I just think it related to those things, Ted. Really, just is this a guy who, if we're trying to cultivate the perfect locker room where everybody is buying in and feels comfortable with their roles and is good to go, do we feel like Jabril Peppers will be comfortable in that role?
Tom, can I ask you for a prediction before we let you go?
Oh, sure.
What do you got for the game on Sunday?
I can't tell you.
Oh, you son of a gun. Are you saving it for TV?
No, I really think the Raiders, the biggest advantage the Patriots have is the West Coast to East Coast. 10 a.m., first game of the season, you're going to be playing at 10 a.m. You have to come all the way out here. They're probably going to have the more accomplished and more poised quarterback in week one. Drake May has to start well. The Patriots have to run for $150. I'm a little bit dubious as to the Patriots secondary, dealing with Bowers, dealing with Jacoby Myers, dealing with Michael Mayer if he's out there. Don't have to deal with Mari Cooper, apparently, and to deal with Jenty. So I think the Raiders are a little bit better team than the Patriots right now. Should be a close game. I'm going to go with 24-21 Raiders, just like the 1976 divisional playoff game.
Oh, Tom Curran picked the Raiders. What a start to the season. All right, Tom, we will we'll enjoy some real football tonight and this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, picking the Raiders.